Time just 10 p.m. CBS News, insurgent forces have captured a river port city near Phnom Penh. I'm Jim Kilpatrick reporting on the CBS radio network. United Press International reports insurgent forces now control the last Cambodian government-held enclave on the Mekong River, the port city of Nik Long. One Cambodian official called it a major disaster because it leaves several thousand additional insurgent troops free to join the siege against Phnom Penh, 30 miles northwest. President Lon Nol left embattled Cambodia for exile Tuesday. The Cambodian president flew to Indonesia and then on to what is described as an unofficial tour destined to take him to the United States. Senior government sources say it is clear the chief of state has no intention of returning. The situation in South Vietnam grows grimmer by the hour. Insurgent troops now control most of the central highlands and are moving along the coast as defenses began crumbling at Cam Ranh Bay, once so safe from attack that it was chosen for war zone visits by President Johnson. There are reports that South Vietnamese Prime Minister Tran Trinh Kim has submitted his resignation, but a government spokesman says the minister has not left the post. However, the Saigon government refuses to say whether the resignation was submitted. A World Airways jetliner was withdrawn from the American airlift of food to Phnom Penh today in an attempt to fly orphans and other refugee children out of South Vietnam. An airline official says the aircraft is now being changed to accommodate a group of orphans, which the airline hopes to fly to the United States. The orphans reportedly will be flown to the United States under the auspices of Friends for All Children in Denver. More CBS News after this.
A way of life. Each one of us must find a way of life. A way of life that you can share. A way that shows you really care. Each precious moment that you give will give some child a chance to live. So join the march of dimes today and find a way of life.
The Internal Revenue Service says taxpayers can expect to begin receiving their rebate checks during the second week in May. Individuals who file tax returns first will receive their rebates first. Chicago Mayor Richard Daley won an expected landslide today for an unprecedented sixth term. The vice president of the United Auto Workers Union says a special fund guaranteeing 44,000 laid-off Chrysler workers up to 95% of their take-home pay will be exhausted by next week. Most of the workers are in the Detroit area, and the union says the ending of the supplemental unemployment benefits would be disastrous to the area's economy. The attorney generals of 13 coastal states have urged the federal government to turn over half of its offshore revenues to the states involved. The Supreme Court earlier rejected claims by Atlantic coast states to offshore mineral resources. The Supreme Court held the colonies gave up ownership of resources beyond the three-mile limit when they joined the United States. Chairman Al Ullman of the House Ways and Means Committee says he may propose a trigger mechanism to increase the gasoline tax as part of an energy bill which his committee will consider. Up until now, the committee has suggested an automatic increase in the gasoline tax up to 37 cents a gallon by 1980. Putting the tax under a trigger set to some economic factor indicative of recovery from the recession could, according to Ullman, be the sort of compromise that will gain the overall bill some support. More after this.
The Movies, 1975. Lee Jordan bringing you a big, wonderful weekend on The Movies 1975. 30 special broadcasts about films with the people who make them. One of the hottest tickets around these days is The Towering Inferno. Film editor Harold Kress talks about his biggest problem in editing that film.
the exploding elevator with the women in it, Steve McQueen trying to get up to rescue that elevator, and the breeches boy. Three very strong elements going on at the same time. I'd say that was the most trying sequence to tie for timing, and it was just a hell of a tough thing to cut.
I'll also be talking with Fred Astaire, Dustin Hoffman, Ellen Burstyn, and many more on The Movies 1975, our next special weekend, April 5th and 6th, on the CBS Radio
Network. The Federal Energy Administration has given President Ford's Energy Independence Plan mixed reviews. The administration says the next 2 years, with increased gasoline conservation, air pollution would be down. But from 1977 to 1985, there would be additional pollutions because of increased coal mining and increased risk of oil spills. Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
From CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook, rain becoming showery tomorrow, with rain likely again on Thursday. The highs near 50, lows about 40, and currently in downtown Seattle, it's 47, 45 at the airport. The barometer falling, it reads 30. In sports briefly, in the NBA this evening, Milwaukee dumped Detroit by a score of 98-91. Houston over Atlanta, 113-104. Washington beat New Orleans, 110-101. New York down Philadelphia, 99-95. And Chicago beat Buffalo, 98-93. CBS Radio Mystery Theater is next on KIXI. The time now is 7 minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. There are two worlds. The first is the one we know. It has rules, it has boundaries, it has structure. For lack of a better name, we call it the real world. The second world, the other world, is always waiting somewhere just beyond the edge of understanding. Perhaps it is perceived most clearly in dreams. It is a world without form or shape, without reason or logic. And that world still threatens to overwhelm us. That world with its demons and dangers and madness.
Get in.
What?
Get in, Gwendolyn.
How did you know my name?
I said get in.
Who are you?
Yes, that's right. It's a revolver. Now, nobody has to get hurt.
If this is a robbery, take my purse.
No, love. We want you.
But who are you? Why?
You play dumb so sweetly, you'll have me crying in a minute.
But you're making a mistake.
Get in!
But I'm not who you think I am.
You'll get a fair trial before we get rid of you. We'll at least give you a fair trial.
But I...
That is enough now. Inside or you'll get it right here.
Our mystery drama, The Killer Inside, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Ann Mira. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Uncle Ben's Long Grain and Wild Rice. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
When you say but... You've said a lot of things nobody else can say.
A lot of things, like a taste, a smoothness, and a drinkability you'll find in no other beer at any price. Let's say this beer, Budweiser, is the king of beers.
When you say Bud, you've said the word that means you like to do it all. When you say Bud, you say you care enough to only want the king of beers.
Budweiser's always been the king of beers, and always will be, for one simple reason. It's quality taste. And that speaks for itself. Hear it talking?
When you say Budweiser,
you've said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
I think it was the first time I can remember really going fishing with my dad. I'm sure I'd been with him before, but the first time I really remember it was wading downstream with him in an extra big pair of wading boots as he felt his way very surely along the stream bed and I shakily held onto the willows. And we found a spot where my dad lifted his finger to his lips and said, "Shh, we don't want to scare the fish away." And then I remember that fish. The biggest fish I'd ever seen in my life. And it was on the end of my line. And my dad, boy, was he proud. I'll never forget that as long as I live.
Give your children everything. Give them your time. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
You know a girl like Gwendolyn. Her mother generally introduces her as my unmarried daughter. What Mama conveniently overlooks is the fact that Gwendolyn may be unmarried because she is the kid who stayed home to look after her parents. Gwendolyn believes in being sensible. The only nonsensical thing that Gwendolyn ever did was to buy a raffle ticket. Although it wasn't completely frivolous either. After all, it was for a charitable cause. However, maybe doing something that isn't completely sensible might be catching because lightning, figuratively speaking, has struck. And Gwendolyn's was the winning ticket. And the prize is a 10-day trip to London. And that's what the argument is about.
But you don't have to go on the trip.
Mama, that's why I bought the raffle ticket.
Well, I understand you can cash it in.
But when will I ever get another chance to see London?
What's there to see in London?
Mama, London. London fairly reeks with history.
And what's history? The past. And what is the past? It's dead. Look, you should be concerned with the future. You go to London, you spend 10 days. It's very chilly, it rains all the time. They have a lot of fried foods. The 10 days are over. The whole thing is finished and it's gone forever.
Mama.
Whereas, if you buy yourself a couple of outfits...
Mama, I am going to London.
Clothes you can wear every day for weeks, months, years.
Mama, I said...
Or you can put the money in the bank.
Mama, I'm 30 years old.
You're only 26.
You don't have to lie about my age to me.
Look, it's a woman's right. It's her duty, her obligation to lie about her age.
I'm 30 years old and I've never done anything and I've never gone anywhere.
All right. Be practical. Consider Norman.
Norman. What about Norman?
Can you risk leaving Norman alone for 10 whole days? Well, can you?
Do you know how long I've known Norman?
Exactly 3 years.
3 long years. 3 wasted years.
Well, it's an investment. You have to protect it.
What you're saying is, I'm stuck with it.
Well, it's your fault if you don't go out with anyone else.
I don't go out with anyone else because no one else asks me.
Then it's your fault if you don't get around.
Isn't that what I'm trying to do now by going to London?
But who will you meet in London? A bunch of foreigners.
Mama, nothing you can say will make me change my mind.
Well, suppose Norman meets somebody else.
In 10 days?
It could happen in 10 minutes.
Good. He can waste 3 years of her life.
Oh, what's gotten into you?
Nothing.
Usually you're so sensible.
Maybe that's my problem.
Oh, well, if you have a problem, you better see Dr. Morris.
Oh, please, forget it.
If you have a problem, you shouldn't let it fester. Oh, my. Who could that be?
Mama, you know perfectly well who it is. Who else could it be?
Oh, good evening, Gwendolyn.
Norman, what a surprise.
Yeah. May I come in?
What would you do if I said no?
I... I don't understand. Why would you say no?
Oh, don't pay any attention to her, Norman. Her head's in the clouds.
Oh, good evening, Mrs. Wilkinson.
Oh, we're just about to start on dessert. Have some?
Yeah, thank you. I will. I saved up 300 calories for you, Mrs. Wilkinson.
Well, you know, our Gwendolyn is bound for London, Norman. I just couldn't talk her out of it.
Oh, I think she should go.
You do?
Oh, yes. It'll be an enriching educational experience.
Oh, you know, that's exactly what I kept telling her.
Now, Quinlan, I've compiled a list of places you mustn't miss. All the important museums.
You know, I understand that London is a very romantic city.
Oh, yes. Rich with the romance of history.
I also understand it's a wonderful place to spend a honeymoon.
Mama.
Well, look, now, you're both practical, sensible people. And you're as good as engaged, aren't you?
Well,
Mama.
Norman, dear, here's a once-in-a-lifetime chance for a half-price honeymoon because her expenses are already paid for.
Yeah. But you see, it would be a false economy, Mrs. Wilkinson. We can't afford marriage until I become an associate professor, at which time I'll have tenure. And we'll be able to assume the responsibilities
of... But, Norman, aren't you afraid to let Gwendolyn go off alone?
Why should I be afraid?
Well, she could meet some titled Englishman, some duke.
Oh, no, a duke. Even an earl isn't looking for plain girls.
Really?
Huh? Oh, well, what I meant was plain in the generic sense of the word. Meaning ordinary, that is, off the people, as opposed to the nobility.
It doesn't get any better.
Well, I should leave you two alone. I'm sure you have so much to say to each other.
Oh, no, I was just about to leave. I have to attend a meeting.
But, Norman, it's my last evening before the trip.
Oh, I understand, Gwendolyn, but...
And there's a very artistic Albanian film playing at...
See, but this is a vitally important meeting of the Language Association. I'm to read a paper.
Oh, I thought we would spend the evening together.
We're always together, my dear. We're always together in spirit. And besides, transoceanic flying is extremely fatiguing. You should get some rest.
Norman is right, Gwendolyn.
Well, I suppose so.
Oh, it's the best way to avoid jet lag.
More pie, Norman.
No, you mustn't tempt me. Where has the time gone? Suddenly it's late. Have a glorious trip, my dear. And I almost forgot. Do you suppose you might run an errand for me while you're in London?
An errand?
Well, I got a friend. Well, we've never met personally, but we've been corresponding for years. He teaches linguistics at the university. Would you mind giving him this envelope?
What is it?
Well, I've compiled what I think is a list of hitherto unknown Indo-European language root words. And I'm anxious for his opinion. His name and address are on the envelope right there, Mr. Toby Hazlitt, at 6 Golders Crescent.
Well, make sure you don't lose it.
Mama.
I was going to mail it, but since you'll be in London tomorrow, it might be fun for you to meet him. He's the sort who likes to sit around and discuss Indo-European roots for hours.
It should be a lark.
Well, darling, the swiftest partings are the sweetest, as they say. I'll see you in exactly 11 days.
Goodbye, Norman.
And goodbye, Mrs. Wilkinson.
Goodbye.
Yes. Goodbye, Norman.
Well, I admit he isn't very exciting, but his kind make the best husbands.
Sure.
Well, let me help you pack. Huh? You better take along sensible shoes.
I don't think I have any other kind.
And a heavy sweater.
Mama, maybe I shouldn't go.
Why?
Oh, what's the use? Look, nothing's going to happen to me over there.
Well, what do you want to happen?
I don't know. Something. Something different. Something exciting. But it won't. I don't know anyone. I won't meet anyone.
Well, that's not true. There's this man. What's his name again?
Tony Hazlitt.
Well, he might be interesting.
Mama, how can he possibly be interesting? He's Norman's friend. Carling Street, and this corner should be Golder's Crescent. Mm-hmm. Number 2, 4. Aha, 6. I'll just hand him the envelope and leave.
Put down that knife.
Yes, sir.
And then what happened?
And then I heard him yell.
And then?
And then I didn't hear anything. Well, I was scared, you know. I didn't know what to think.
What did you do?
Well, I thought for a minute. Then I walked up the stairs, and I went to her door.
Yes.
And I just stood there listening. Finally, I knocked on the door, and I said, Miss Bonner, are you okay? There was no answer. Well, I tried to turn the handle, and the door wasn't locked. So I opened it, and I walked right into the apartment. And there I saw...
Would you tell us what you saw?
I saw him lying on the floor. He was dead.
You're sure he was dead?
Oh, yes. His chest was covered with blood.
And where was the defendant?
She was standing there near him, right in the middle of the room. And she was holding a big knife in her hand. And you could see blood on the blade.
Would that be that large knife lying on the table marked Exhibit B?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, that's the knife. And she was holding that knife in her hand, and she was mumbling, "No one else can ever have you. No one else can ever have you."
Mm-hmm. And what you've told us just now is exactly what you saw?
Yes, sir. Exactly.
I have no further questions.
And through it all, she sat quietly at her table, next to her attorney. It was as if someone else were on trial. She hardly seemed to listen to anything that was being said. Occasionally, she would glance at the spectators. Her eyes would slowly sweep the room. From time to time, they would meet mine. And she would look at me. Or was it my imagination? But the trial came to an end, finally. The jury left the room at 11:45 and returned promptly at 2. They had lunch between 12 and 1:30. So you can imagine how long they deliberated. But, of course, the verdict was obvious from the very outset. Guilty. Guilty of murder in the first degree. Guilty with no recommendation for mercy. So now, what is she doing here? Less than 5 years later. Because this is Tessie Bonner. She may call herself Wilma Sloan, but her name is Tessie Bonner.
This is Wilma Sloan.
How do you do?
Congratulations, Mr. Johnson.
Wilma, you said I could have the next dance. How are you at keeping promises?
I never broke one yet.
Now, if you good people will excuse us.
Oh, they make a handsome couple, don't they, Harry?
Oh, what?
I said Pete and Wilma Sloan make a good-looking couple, don't they?
Oh, yes.
Oh, she's such a beautiful girl, isn't she?
Yes. Yes, Jenny. Lovely.
If you like a girl who knows how to use a knife. But is she the same one? Harry is absolutely certain. But if she's the same one, what indeed is she doing here? The state where she was tried still has the death penalty. At the very least, she should be in jail for a long, long time. Well, you'll only have to wait a short time till I return with some answers in Act Two.
This mystery is really thrilling me.
The suspense is really killing me.
Just sitting here by the radio
with
Vigna Rosé wine.
Uh-huh.
Vigna Rosé wine.
Say, this Vigna Rosé is delicious.
It goes with so many dishes.
Or all alone by the radio. Vigna Rosé wine.
Uh-huh.
Vigna Rosé wine. Come, let me pour you some more Vigna.
At the price it's a value. If you know what I mean, now let's go back to our mystery show.
But I have one question before I go. What's light and refreshing imported to?
Vigna Rosé wine.
That's the answer, Vigna Rosé wine.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
What a wine.
Imported by Udline, Hartford, Connecticut.
Who knows what troubles lurk in the hearts and minds of consumers?
Oh, Irene, this new sofa is gone already, and...
Why, what's that inside the cushion, John? It's, oh my heavens, it's crumpled newspaper. How did we ever buy a sofa like this? What can we do?
I'll tell you what to do.
Who are you, sir?
I'm the man from your Better Business Bureau. When you shop for furniture, it's what's inside that counts. Fancy coverings can hide a variety of shoddy workmanship. Read the law label that must be stitched to the furniture. It will tell you the filler material used and buy from a reputable dealer.
Oh, thank you, sir. We'll know better next time.
Not at all, ma'am. Just another tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Johnson has raised considerable funds for the town library. He rarely goes there himself. However, this afternoon, on an impulse, one that he cannot explain, or can he has stopped at the library. From the doorway, he regards the librarian, a rather beautiful young woman named Wilma Sloan. She's talking to several children. It's hard to believe that she is a woman who, in a fit of passion, or as a result of a cold-blooded resolve, stabbed her lover to death. But she did, some 5 years ago, in a state 1,000 miles away. And she has been tried and convicted for murder. And the question is, what is she doing here? Harry Johnson wants to know the answer, but evidently not now. And so he turns away and walks down the library steps to the street.
Harry! Harry, want a lift?
Sure thing. Thanks, Pete.
You know, if anybody were to ask me where they could find Harry Johnson, I'd answer, try the library.
Just what's that supposed to mean, Pete?
Don't have an affair with her, Harry.
What?
You heard me.
Don't have an affair with whom?
With Wilma Sloan.
Oh, come on, Pete. What's gotten into you?
The problem is not what's gotten into me, but what's gotten into you.
Pete, you're either crazy or...
Or what?
Well, I don't know. Look, what are you driving at?
What I'm driving at is that man is not naturally monogamous.
Oh, let's not start this nonsense
That's
again.
That's why I never got married. You may be deeply in love with a woman, but suddenly someone happens along and...
And what?
And you're gone.
I think that's ridiculous.
It probably is. But unfortunately, it happens. And it happened to you last night.
Pete, I wish you would tell me what you're talking about.
I'm talking about Wilma Sloan.
What about Wilma Sloan?
All right, let's do it in steps, huh? Last night, you were introduced to her. One look at your face convinced me.
Convinced you of what?
Convinced me I'd better ask her to dance so I could get her away from you.
And have her for yourself, no doubt.
Don't get me wrong. I'd take her if I could get her. But she's not for me. I know. See, I'm an expert in these affairs.
Mm. Oh, so modest.
Look, you may disapprove of my attitude toward life and love, but I do have both experience and expertise. So I took her away from where you and Jenny were standing before...
Before what?
Before what you were thinking. Before that look on your face could become obvious to everyone else, including my poor dear sister.
You know, I think that you are crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And so now, it's the afternoon of the next day, the late afternoon. I'm downtown. I stop for a traffic light. Idly, I glance toward the library steps, thinking, of course, of that delectable new librarian. When who do I see walking up the steps? Why, my most faithful brother-in-law, Harry. A man whose rectitude has just earned him the Man of the Year award here in Danvers Corners.
Oh, I can explain that.
But I can explain it better. You walked up the steps. You paused. You're new at this business. You don't quite know how to go about it. So at the last minute, you lost your nerve and beat a hasty retreat.
But, Pete, not one word of what you say is true.
But you'll come back again. There always has to be a first time, Harry. And your first time is waiting in the wings. Or I should say, behind the desk. Harry, don't do it.
I have no intention of...
You think you don't.
Pete, if you don't mind, I insist that we change the subject.
Why? Is it so painful?
No, it's ridiculous.
Then why are you becoming so excited?
I'm not excited.
Well, what are you?
Pete, look, I'm very much in love with my wife.
Your kind of guy needs watching.
Well, don't judge everybody's morality by your own.
What were you doing at the library?
I thought I needed a certain book. And then... Well, then I remembered that I had it in the house.
Sure,
it's
sure.
True.
Do you know what Nero said about truth? He said the truth is whatever you want it to be.
I must say you choose a strange model.
But that's where you are right now, Harry. And don't say I didn't warn you.
Centerville Motel?
Yes. This is Mr. Harry Johnson. You wouldn't remember me. I was out there 5 years ago.
I remember you fine, Mr. Johnson. You were with the Gresham Corporation. You spent 15 days here teaching sales seminars. You was in room 112 facing the lake.
Yes, well, I may have to take a trip out there, and I wanted to know if the, if the motel was still around.
Oh, we're bigger and better than ever. Want me to make you a reservation?
Well, my plans aren't firm yet.
Why, sure, just give us a little notice. We always got room for you, Mr. Johnson.
I remember when I was out there, you had some excitement.
Excitement? Here?
Yes, you were having a trial, weren't you?
Trial? Oh, yeah. Tessie Bonner. That's who it was.
Yes. I remember I was in the courtroom when the jury brought in a guilty verdict.
Oh, yes. That they did.
Now, I wasn't there when the judge sentenced her. Tell me, what did she get?
The rope. But then the governor said, come on, you can't hang a woman. So he gave her life instead.
Oh. Well, I guess she's still in jail.
No, she's dead.
Dead?
But I say dead. That's the only way to figure. You see, they had a breakout from the women's penitentiary a couple of years ago. Wilma and a couple of others escaped.
Oh, well, then why do you say that she's dead?
Well, they made it up to the mountains, but they got caught in a snowstorm. And I guarantee you nobody could live through that one. Well, it's been nice talking to you, Mr. Johnson. You come up and see us real soon.
Yes, sir, thank you.
Harry?
Oh, hello, dear.
Oh, I thought I heard someone come in the back door. I wanted to make sure it was you.
Oh, I saw a whole line of cars parked in front of the house, and then I remembered it's your women's club afternoon.
Oh, we're just breaking up now.
I didn't want to disturb anyone, so I just sneaked up the rear staircase.
Oh, that's hardly a word you use in your own house. Sneaked. Incidentally, what are you doing home so early?
Jenny, I have a problem. I just want to, you know, sit and think it out.
Oh, sounds grim.
It probably is.
What's it about?
Well, it's concerned with the duties of a citizen.
Uh-huh. Well, let me know how it works out. Oh, darling, would you mind doing something for me?
You name it.
Wilma Sloan is here, and she doesn't have her car, and nobody else is going her way.
Oh, Wilma Sloan.
You remember, you met her the other night at your award dinner. Darling, would you mind giving her a lift home?
Would I mind?
Well, I'd do it myself, except I've got to get dinner started.
This is very kind of you, Mr. Johnson.
I'd rather you called me Harry.
I will on one condition. You must call me Wilma.
Well, I'll do better than that. I'll call you Tessie.
Tessie?
Or Teresa. Or Miss Bonner. Which do you prefer?
I see. Well, what do we do now?
I know what I should do.
And what's that?
Head for the police station and turn you over to the authorities.
Why?
Because you're an escaped convict.
I know I'm an escaped convict, but why should you turn me over to the police?
Why? Because it's my duty as a citizen.
Oh. And you always do your duty as a citizen?
I try to. At least to the best of my ability.
And as you see it, it's your duty to return me to the penitentiary.
Yes.
Why? I never did you any harm. I killed a man who needed killing.
You can't kill another human being just because you want to.
What else was I to do? He used me, and then he tossed me aside as if I were an object of no consequence.
What kind of society would we have if people were free to kill at their own pleasure?
You haven't answered my question, which is, what do we do now?
I should turn you over to the police.
I know you said that. Is this the road to the police station?
No.
Why aren't we headed that way?
Because...
Yes. It's clear. It's very clear to me.
What do you mean it's very clear to you? How could it be very clear when it isn't clear to me? I don't even know what I'm doing or why.
In the interests of clarity, why do you hesitate to do your duty? Would you hesitate for a moment if I were a man? I don't think so. Again, would you hesitate if I were old? Ugly.
Oh, no, look, that's...
That's what? Why do you hesitate? I heard you speak at the banquet the other night. The fabric of society is woven by each single individual and so forth. I recognized you. I remembered you from the courtroom.
You did?
Oh, yes. And I said to myself, uh-oh, if he remembers me, I'm gone. This is Mr. Pillar of the community himself in the flesh.
I should turn you in. I should.
But you won't.
How do you know?
Because you want me.
Oh, come on. That's ridiculous.
Of course it is, but you want me. And you're saying to yourself, here's the most attractive woman I ever met.
You have an extremely high opinion of yourself.
I must be the most attractive woman you ever met. Do you know why? Because I'm making you go against the habits of a lifetime.
I haven't done anything yet.
Oh, yes, you have. You're thinking what a waste it would be to send her back to prison. You're not interrupting me now, are you? You're 40 years old. You never stepped out of line in your life. Aren't you bored with Jenny?
I'm afraid you don't know everything. Oh, I admit I was tempted for a moment.
You should be. I made you quite an offer.
Offer? What offer?
Myself.
What? You would sell yourself to buy my silence?
Most women sell themselves for something.
That isn't true.
They sell themselves for security, for advancement, for the illusion of romance. For me right now, there is nothing more valuable in all the world than your silence.
Well, it's not for sale.
Why not?
Not so that I could engage in a tawdry affair.
Oh, I see. It's not that you're opposed to an affair. Just a tawdry affair. Why would ours be tawdry?
Because...
It's not how these things begin. It's what they become. Both of us are attractive. We're intelligent. In a week, a month, we would love each other.
I love my wife.
Then why aren't we headed toward the police station?
We are.
It's about 3 miles to the station house, and it should take 4 or 5 minutes to get there. An awful lot can take place in 4 or 5 minutes. Will she simply submit quietly and return to a sentence of life in prison? After all, she got in there because she killed one man. Would she kill another man to stay out? From a different perspective, how solid is Harry's resolve to turn her over to the police? Questions, possibilities. We shall weigh them all when I return shortly with Act 3.
Hi, I'm Burl Ives. You know, nothing perks up a meal like an exciting side dish. And I'd like to tell you about one your family and your guests are sure to love and keep on loving. It's Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice. It's a mouth-watering mixture of Uncle Ben's converted brand rice, wild rice herbs, and seasonings. It's the kind of side dish that can make an ordinary meal a great meal and can keep a great meal from becoming ordinary. In fact, Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice is so good, they tell me that most everyone who tries it comes back for more. That's because there are no compromises in quality. But that's the way Uncle Ben's does business. So, to make an ordinary meal a great meal, try Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice. And to make sure you get the quality ingredients and good taste I've told you about, make sure it's Uncle Ben's.
Hi, this is Jose Feliciano, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Louis Braille Foundation for Blind Musicians, a national nonprofit organization working to promote the interests of the blind in the field of music. The foundation exists to help talented blind musicians achieve professional status as performers and teachers, providing them with auditions, evaluations, and counseling, paid engagements to qualified musicians, and the transcription of music into Braille. The services of the Louis Braille Foundation are available to any blind person. The foundation depends entirely on your contributions. So please help. Send your tax-deductible gifts to the Louis Braille Foundation, 112 East 19th Street, New York, 10003. Help a blind musician on his way. Thank you. I come home in the evening.
How does it begin? Where does it begin? Why does it begin? A man spends his years walking what we are pleased to call the straight and narrow, and suddenly he finds himself sorely tempted to break out of the social and religious mold he has formed for himself over the course of a lifetime. There are those who say man is naturally evil, and there are those who say that man is intrinsically good. Well, Harry Johnson can be a test case for either point of view.
Here we are.
Yes, here we are.
At the police station.
Do your duty, Mr. Harry Johnson. Do your duty as an upright, dedicated, concerned citizen.
I will. Let's go.
Oh? Well, sure. Send him in. Mr. Johnson and Miss Sloan. Well, won't you both sit down? Well, what can I do for you?
Lieutenant Craven.
By the way, I was going to go to that banquet the other night, Mr. Johnson, but I was on the desks. Somebody has to mind the store.
Yeah, that's right.
Congratulations. Everybody says, for once, the Man of the Year committee picked the right guy.
Oh, thank you.
Well, now, what can your police department do for you folks?
Lieutenant, I am here to report...
Yes, sir?
I wish to report that, that Miss Wilma Sloan...
Well, hold it just a second. I didn't think I'd have to write anything down. Let me get my pad here. Okay.
Shoot. I have to report that Miss Wilma Sloan...
That's Sloan spelled with an E at the end, right?
That's right.
We got some Sloans over to North Cap, but they don't have the E, so you wouldn't be related, I suppose.
I don't suppose so.
You were saying, Mr. Johnson, about Miss Sloan?
I wish to report that... that I...
Say, you sound like it's something serious.
Well, I look, you see, Miss Sloan here is... Well, she's a...
Yeah?
She's a... She's a very shy and timid person, and... Well, she happened to be talking to my wife, and she said she couldn't be sure, but she thought she might have noticed some prowlers about the vicinity of her home. Well, I said, why don't you notify the police? And she said she didn't want to bother anyone.
Oh, now, Miss Sloan. Bother us? Please bother us. That's why we're here, to be bothered.
And so I said, nonsense. I'll take it up with my friend, Lieutenant Craven.
You're absolutely right, Mr. Johnson. Miss Sloan, any time you have the slightest, the vaguest suspicion, you get on that phone. You understand?
Yes, Lieutenant.
Mr. Johnson, if there were more people like you, how much easier our job would be.
Thanks. lift. Won't you come in? You know, you haven't said a word since we left the police station.
I know. Good night.
Good night? Just like that?
No. Not just like that. I suppose you should know why I did it.
But I do know.
It's not at all what you're thinking.
It isn't?
I thought about it. I kept thinking about what you had done. You killed a man who... well, who had behaved badly toward you. After all, he was married and he... well, he had no right... well, you were sentenced to prison. You had already served 2 years.
Three.
It isn't as if you're a professional killer. You won't do it again. You've been frightened enough, punished enough. In jail, you'd be a burden on society. Here, you're... well, you're an asset to the community. You're productive.
Harry, you can kiss me.
I'm doing this because... because I think no useful purpose would be served...
Harry, why don't you kiss me? You wanted to kiss me since you first saw me in that courtroom. Harry, kiss me.
Wilma. Hello, Jenny. Where were you?
Harry, you're home.
Of course I'm home.
Well, I figured the PTA committee meeting should be over by 10:30, so I thought I'd surprise you and stop by. We could go somewhere and have a sandwich. Oh, was I hungry.
I'm sorry.
But the school was dark. I guess the meeting ended early.
Well, no. As a matter of fact, it never began.
Oh? What do you mean?
Well, there was no meeting. That was the wrong night.
Oh. Well, what did you do?
Oh, I figured since I was out anyway, I'd pay old Jerry Phelan a visit.
Jerry Phelan?
Yes, you remember Jerry. He ran the newsstand near the railroad station since, well, I guess it must be the Civil War or something like that.
Oh.
Well, you see, now he's laid up sick. Everybody's forgotten him, and, well, he lives near the school.
Oh, darling, that was very thoughtful and very sweet. Incidentally, dear, are you free Wednesday night?
Well, sure. Why do you ask?
Well, you do have a great many demands on your
time. Do I? Well, yes, I suppose I do. I mean, the way you ask that question.
What do you mean?
Are you free Wednesday night? A woman shouldn't have to talk that way to her own husband.
Oh, Harry, you're the kind of a man who has to keep active working for the community, and, well, I don't mind at all.
You don't?
No, because, darling, it's the thing you need. You have to do it. You need fulfillment. It makes you a better man and a better husband.
You know, Jenny, I never realized what a remarkable woman you are.
Oh, thank you, kind sir.
Why don't we go out now and have a snack somewhere?
No, Harry, it's too late. Wednesday night.
I have to go.
So soon?
It's close to 11.
I suppose so. But I'll see you tomorrow night.
Tomorrow? Oh. Tomorrow's Wednesday, isn't it? We can't see each other.
Why not?
Well, because Jenny has something planned.
Jenny?
She's my wife, Wilma.
And what am I?
Wilma, I...
Oh, poor Harry. You can never face reality. You are terrified by the facts.
Wilma, I have to go now.
To Jenny?
Of course. As we both know, she is my wife.
Because she has the document. The document. That's how Mrs. Coyne expressed it at the trial. She has the document. Oh, Harry. Who has your heart?
Oh, Wilma. I'll give you a call tomorrow or Thursday.
Harry, won't you answer the question? No, I guess not. Because once you face up to that question, you'll have to accept the next step. You'll have to divorce Jenny.
Divorce Jenny? Well, a man in my position doesn't divorce.
Oh, I see. Your position doesn't divorce. How about you?
Well, I could never do it. I could never...
You're going home to her now. But answer this. Would you rather be alone with her? Or would you rather be alone with me?
Pete, it's about time for the dessert, and I always skip mine. So, suppose we stop talking about sports and politics, and you tell me why you wanted to buy my lunch.
A couple of months ago, I warned you, Harry.
About what?
I warned you not to have an affair with Wilma Sloan.
Now, Pete.
Harry, I spoke with Lieutenant Craven of the police department.
Oh, Lieutenant Craven?
Or rather, he spoke with me. I will say he was embarrassed.
What does Lieutenant Craven have to do with...
Some time ago, you brought Wilma in to see him. It seems that she was too bashful to complain about prowlers in her neighborhood.
Yes?
Yes. So, Craven's had a squad car cruising the area, and the patrolman noticed a man who keeps coming and going.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. Well, Craven's a good friend of mine, and he's put two and two together.
What right does he have to...
Come on, Jerry, come on. Craven worships the ground you walk on. He thinks you should be president. He's afraid if this gets out, and this kind of thing always does, you'll become a laughingstock. A guy like you, Mr. Morality himself. Why, people will eat this up.
Pete, I don't know what to do.
Okay, let's break it down. You in love with her?
I don't know.
Will you divorce Jenny?
I don't want to.
Harry, break it up now. Before it goes too far. Walk away. Because after a while, she won't let you.
What? What do you mean?
It's in her eyes. Those brilliant eyes. There's something sharp, like steel. To get what she wants, she'll do anything. She's the kind who could kill you.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Harry, you've been married 15 years. Now, I don't say this because she's my sister, but she's a girl in a million, Jenny is, and you know it.
Pete, it's like
an illness. I know. I've been there before. But you can't end every illness by letting it run its course, because that way you'll take the chance it'll kill you. Harry, cure it.
I don't know how to do that.
You don't know how to, or you don't want to? All right, look. Your life's in a mess right now. Go away for a week.
Go away? How?
Come on, a guy in your position can suddenly realize he has to make a business trip. Get away from both of them and think out your problem. Decide what's important. Make up your mind. What do you really want?
Harry, darling.
Hello, Wilma.
Well, hello. Is that all you can say? It's been over a week. Come on, sit down. Dinner's ready. I'm just carving the roast.
Wilma, it's time we had a serious talk.
I know, darling. We're overdue.
No, Wilma, you can trust me.
Trust you? Of course I trust you.
No, not really.
What are you saying?
You didn't want to go back to prison. Now, that's true, isn't it?
That's true, but...
No. Now, please listen. So you don't have to pretend any longer.
Pretend what?
Pretend that you love me.
Harry, I'm not pretending.
That first night, you said to me that my silence was the most important thing in the world, and that you were willing to buy it. Now, you said that.
Yes, I said that.
Well, you don't have to buy it any longer. Not that you ever had to buy it in the first place.
So you thought I was buying you.
You admitted it.
You forget what else I told you that same night. I said it's not how these things begin, but what they become. And ours has become love.
I love my wife. Now, look, this is over. It's come to an end.
It's not over. It's just begun. I won't let you walk out on me.
We both knew it would have to end sometime.
It can only end when one of us is dead.
Oh, Wilma, don't be stupid.
My name isn't Wilma. Why do you call me Wilma?
Because... Oh, good Lord. This is the way it happened before. The way...
Yes, it has happened before, hasn't it? Oh, hasn't it, Charlie?
Please, control yourself. Wilma!
You know my name isn't Wilma. It's Tessie. Was that her name? Was that her name, Charlie?
I'm not Charlie Reynolds or Ryan. I'm Harry. Harry Johnson. And you're safe. Your secret is safe with me.
If I can't have you, she can't have you.
Be sensible.
A woman in love is never sensible.
Don't be crazy.
If I can't have you, no one can have you.
You're mad. Put down that knife.
I will kill you.
No, Wilma.
My name is Jesse.
Wilma. Wilma.
I told you no one else can ever have you.
No one else can ever have you.
Wilma Sloan, Tessie Bonner, Charlie Reynolds, Harry Johnson. So many times, in so many places, they act and reenact the same roles over and over again. And it's a mixture of love, deceit, madness, and evil. And to taste it is to risk the arrival of death. But you shall risk nothing if you wait for me to arrive after a few moments.
You're on the open road, rolling free and feeling great about your new Buick Century. Because in published EPA mileage test results, a V6 Buick Century got the best highway mileage of any U.S. midsize car. 24 miles per gallon and 16 in the city. Your Century's comfortable, it's nimble, it's economical, and above all, it's a Buick.
Living free.
Corps doesn't offer jobs to women. They offer careers to women. For today's woman, the Marine Corps can be the career corps. Top pay, equal opportunity, equal reward. And you don't have to be one of the boys to get ahead. You can be yourself. A special kind of woman who wants more than a job. A woman who has more to offer.
And so, what is it? What is evil? Need it be nurtured carefully before it springs forth from the human breast? Or can it be a sudden thing? An alien thing? Our cast included Norman Rose, Terry Keane, Joan Shea, Nat Polan, and Ken Harvey. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Miss Gwendolyn Wilkinson?
Yes?
My name is Inspector Stokes. My credentials.
Oh, well, what can I do for you, Mr.?
I'm afraid that you'll have to come to headquarters.
Now?
Yes, Miss Wilkinson, now.
But why? What's wrong?
You're wanted for questioning.
Well, are you sure you're looking for me? Gwendolyn Wilkinson?
Oh, yes, miss. There's no mistake.
I don't understand. What is wrong?
There has been a murder.
A what? A murder? Who?
Mr. Hazlitt. Mr. Toby Hazlitt.
Oh, but that's impossible. I just thought... Who would want to kill Mr. Hazlitt?
That's what we'd like to find out from you, Miss Wilkinson.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Look for the KIXI listening area. Increasing cloudiness and a little warmer tomorrow. Increasing chance of rain tomorrow night and Wednesday. The highs in the lower 50s and lows tonight about 30. In downtown Seattle currently it's 43 degrees. The barometer rising at 30.10.
You can hear the difference. Bright and beautiful music. KIXI. AM and FM, Seattle.
News. Communist forces have captured another major South Vietnamese city on the central coast and are feared heading toward the last big coastal city held by government troops. I'm Ann Crosman, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Early Tuesday, communist soldiers took the city of Quy Nhon and are now believed headed for Nha Trang, the last major city on the coast north of Saigon known to be in government hands. The fear in Washington now is for Saigon itself, as we hear in a report from Ike Pappas at the Pentagon.
Defense Secretary Schlesinger called the situation in South Vietnam grim, and he warned that unless panicky South Vietnamese troops can be rallied to form a defense line in the south, Saigon itself may fall. Schlesinger gave this assessment of the current military situation.
Da Nang is now gone, and undoubtedly there will be further withdrawals in MR2. The government must stabilize a defensive line that incorporates at least Saigon and the Delta. And undoubtedly the morale of the remaining forces has been adversely affected, but I would hope that the government is able to stabilize such a line.
Schlesinger said fleeing South Vietnamese soldiers left behind at least $650 million worth of U.S. military equipment, a figure that could go to $1 billion, he said, when the final accounting is made. Ike Pappas, CBS News, Washington.
Cambodia's President Lon Nol is about to leave his country for Indonesia and the United States. Three helicopters are now standing by in Phnom Penh for the ailing president and his party, which is said to include family and leading political figures. Lon Nol's departure is aimed at appeasing Khmer Rouge insurgents and getting them to begin peace talks with the government. More in a minute.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's new hemorrhoid ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now, at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Vaseline Hemorrhoid. It's new. Use only as directed.
I'm Lee Jordan, inviting you to a wonderful weekend inside the movies, 1975. Actress Jenna Rollins tells us why she enjoyed her strenuous role in A Woman Under the Influence.
An actor prays for a hard, difficult, exhausting part. That's our peculiarities. That is what does make us happy.
Just one view of the movies, 1975. 30 broadcasts, April 5th and 6th on the CBS Radio Network.
Shooting broke out Monday night along the so-called Green Line that separates Greek and Turkish Cypriot sections of Nicosia, Cyprus. There were no casualties reported. One report has it that the shooting began after Greek Cypriot soldiers fired in the air to celebrate the anniversary of an anti-British guerrilla campaign back in 1955. The Turkish Cypriots apparently misunderstood the reason for the shooting and also began firing. Workers in Rio are trying to clean up an oil spill that is fouling the city harbor. Henry Johnson has a report.
A small launch with two pitiful hoses is spraying detergents on thousands of tons of crude oil, spreading over the waters of Rio de Janeiro's beautiful Guanabara Bay. The oil came from a big Iraq tanker, which scraped its bow on the bottom of the bay and sprang a leak. The oil spread to the beaches of Governor's Island and caught fire twice, damaging power and telephone lines. More fires are threatened as the oil creeps along the docks and anchored ships. Famous Copacabana and Ipanema beaches are black with the gooey stuff. Fish are dying and fishermen are desperate. A scientist warns that the detergents may create more pollution than the oil. This is Henry Johnston for CBS News in Rio de Janeiro.
Democratic Congressman Les Aspin revealed Monday night that the government is investigating possible overcharges to customers by Gulf Oil. The Federal Energy Administration confirms its investigation, and Gulf says it's still discussing the matter with the agency. Somewhere between $40 million and $100 million reportedly is involved in the overcharge. Now this.
Hi, this is Phyllis Diller. You know, I love being funny because it's a way to spread a little joy and happiness. Right now, I'd like to tell you how you can spread a little joy and happiness. And more than that, help some very special people. I'm speaking of our country's 6 million mentally retarded children and adults. Like all of us, mentally retarded people need love and affection and understanding and patience. They also need a special kind of help that will enable them to develop to their fullest. It's a big job for the people who are trying to provide help to the mentally retarded. And that's where you come in. Please lend a helping hand. I'll tell you how. Join and support the work of your local association of the National Association for Retarded Citizens. So come on, give them a hand. Make a contribution to your local association. It'll give you a nice, warm, thankful glow.
At a time when the Ford Foundation and other funding agencies are cutting their academic grants because of financial problems, the Rockefeller Foundation is awarding 34 new fellowships. They will be used to explore values in modern society. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI, AM and FM. The time is 6 minutes past 11.